Terra Insegura by Edward Willett, published by Daw Books. Chapter 2. Emily woke in the dark to confusion and a pounding headache, wrists bound behind her back so tightly her hands felt numb. Where was she? What had happened at the sub's cockpit? Where's Mom? She blinked. It wasn't completely dark. Maybe it would have been to a non-mod, but her silky eyes saw a faint indirect glow, and as her vision cleared and the headache receded slightly, she could see enough to get a sense of the space she lay in. Small, but living quarters of some kind? Certainly she lay on a bed, not on a bare floor, and that looked like a tiny sink and counter over there. Submarine quarters, she thought, but not our sub, and not any sub I've ever been in on Marsiguro. That really left only one other possibility, and so when the door suddenly opened and flooded the tiny space with light so bright it made her wince and turn her head away, she wasn't surprised to glimpse a man in the powder-blue uniform of the Holy Warriors. She'd hoped to never see that uniform again. She'd seen enough of them generally splattered with blood during the battle to free Marsiguro from the Body Purified's occupation and the long clean-up afterward. Why was this Holy Warrior still alive when the plague had taken all of his comrades? "She's awake," the man said. Emily turned her head back to see a different Holy Warrior take the first one's place. Both men were bearded, something she'd never seen in the original force. Makes sense if they've been hiding in a sub all this time, but they're doomed now. Mom and I are carriers of the plague. Everyone on Marsiguro carries it. It's only a matter of... "Bring her out," the second man said. "I want to talk to her." He stepped out again, and the first man bowled into the room, grabbed her by the arms, and hauled her to her feet. She tried to kick him, but he spun her around and propelled her head first into the narrow corridor outside the door. Then he marched her down it to what was probably one of the largest spaces in the sub, since its curved walls suggested it extended the full width of the hull. Some sort of wardroom, furnished with four unpainted metal tables bolted to the walls, two on each side, each with four attached red-painted chairs. Three more holy warriors stood at the far end of the wardroom as she was brought into it. Her mother sat in one of the chairs, arms tied like hers, face cheek down on the metal table, eyes closed. "Mom!" Emily tried to pull free. The second man she'd seen said, "Let her go," and a moment later she fell to her knees at her mother's side. Dr. Christensen Wood's eyes were open just a slit, but only the white showed, glittering in the light. Her skin looked waxy, but she was breathing. Emily gulped a sigh of relief. For a moment she'd thought, "What's wrong with her?" said the Holy Warrior, who seemed to be in charge. Emily struggled to her feet and turned to face him. "Who are you?" she demanded. "Don't tell me you don't recognize the uniform," the man growled. "I know your Holy Warriors. I want to know your name. I want to know who I'm talking to." The man cocked his head. "Fair enough. After all, I know who you are, Emily Wood. I'm Alistair Stone, commander of the Body Purified Submarine Promise of God." "What do you want, Commander Stone?" "We've got what we want, Emily Wood," Stone said. "We've got your mother."
"And me?"
He shrugged. "You're incidental. Bit of a nuisance, really. Unless you can help us talk to your mother, I might decide to just put you out the airlock. At depth." Emily ignored the threat.
"Why do you want my mother? Why do you need to talk to her?"
Stone's lip curled. "Because she designed the filthy plague that murdered every other holy warrior on this planet." Emily felt as if he'd slapped her.
"How?
How do I know? Because we've been down here since it started, listening. We know what happened to all of our comrades. We know what happened to BPS Retribution. We know about the vaccine. And we stole some for ourselves, so don't start listening for a cough."
"You've been hiding out, underwater, for 6 months?"
"Lots of rations on board these subs, Miss Wood. Enough to keep us going this long."
"But why? What do you hope to accomplish?"
Emily looked down at her unconscious mother.
"What do you want with my mother?"
"Retribution," the Holy Warrior said, "like the name of our former ship."
"But that won't get you anything in the long run," Emily said. "When we don't show up at our destination, there'll be a search. Subs, surface ships. They'll find you. And then you'll have to deal with a whole planet full of people who'll know what you've done. How long do you think you'll last then?"
"Oh, there'll be a search," Stone said. "And they'll find exactly what we left them to find. Debris, wedding presents, that sort of thing." He showed his teeth in a wolfish grin. "Floating on the surface and in the deep sea trench you were crossing when we grabbed you, the flattened remnants of your sub 500 meters below its crush depth."
John, Amy, Emily imagined them getting the news, their grief, the wedding postponed.
"You can't hide forever," she snarled. "Your rations will run out. Your recycling equipment will foul. You'll have to surface."
Stone's grin widened.
"Will we?" "No sub remains underwater forever," Emily said.
"We're not going to be remaining on the sub."
Stone moved closer, uncomfortably so, until his face was only centimeters from her. "Listen to me, Emily Wood, and listen well.
We are going to board the shuttle Divine Will, lying sunken but intact in relatively shallow water just 50 kilometers from our current position. We are going to take that shuttle and your mother back to Earth, and then we will hand her over to the Body Purified for trial and punishment, and accept our reward from the Avatar with all due humility.
But the plague, Emily said, you must know.
That it returned to Earth with retribution? Stone shook his head. Ridiculous. Do you really think something your mother cooked up in a lab on this water-soaked rock could overwhelm the Body Purified on Earth itself? It may have sickened a few people, but it won't have swept the planet as you naively hope. The Body Purified still rules Earth, Miss Wood. Count on it. He leaned in even closer until she could smell his slightly sour breath and feel its heat on her face, and lowered his voice to an intense, vicious whisper. She forced herself not to flinch away.
You'd better count on it, because if we get to Earth and find no authorities for us to answer to, we will use you two selky bitches as God itself intended men to use women, and discard the broken, bloody remains without a moment's regret. Because never forget, Miss Wood, you are not human.
Emily felt an old, familiar rage building inside her, the rage that had driven her during the battle for Mars Seguro when she had watched men die horribly, at her own hand, from the plague, and at the hands of others, without pity or regret. "You try," she snarled, "and I'll snap your spine like a twig. Because I'm stronger than you, Alistair Stone. Stronger, and faster, and smarter. Not human, maybe not in your eyes, but if I'm not human, it's because I'm better, not worse." She showed her teeth. "New and improved. Humanity 2.0. Stone's lips tightened and his eyes narrowed. "Blasphemy," he spat, literally. She felt the spittle hit her cheek, but she forced herself to ignore it. For a moment she was sure he would slap her, but instead he stepped back. His mouth curved in a cold smile.
"You may indeed be stronger than me," he said, "but your mother," he glanced at Dr. Christensen Wood,
"is not. Would you prefer we start with her?"
Emily stiffened. "Don't touch her."
"We won't. For now." He gestured to the first holy warrior Emily had seen. "Release her hands, Avon." He looked back at Emily.
"Look after your mother. I want her awake and talking when we present her to the Avatar. But cause any trouble, and I'll reconsider the advantages of presenting her to the Avatar catatonic, or dead."
Emily fought the fury inside her, tried to turn it cold instead of hot.
While there's life, there's hope, she thought. It wouldn't do either of them any good if she got herself killed. Her mother needed her.
"I'll behave," she said finally. "I know you will," said Stone. He looked at Aban again. "We're only a couple of hours from the Divine Will. She can stay in here with her mother. Keep a close eye on her."
"Aye, aye, sir," Aban saluted.
Stone turned to the others. "Pass the word," he said. "I want everything ready to transfer to Divine Will the instant we dock." A chorus of aye, ayes followed, and the men dispersed fore and aft. Stone gave Emily one more long, hard look, then went forward. Emily sat beside her mother.
"Mom," she said.
She glanced at Aban, who stood by the forward hatch. He watched her, his hand resting on the black grip of the sidearm in his belt holster. She looked back at her mother.
"Mom, can you hear me?"
Slowly, as though emerging from a fog, her mother's face somehow came into focus. She raised her head from the table, blinked at Emily, and managed a small smile.
"Emily," she said. The cheek that had been pressed against the table was bright pink.
"Have I been sleeping?"
"Yes, Mom," Emily said carefully. "Don't you remember what happened?
We were going somewhere?"
Her mother frowned and looked around the Spartan wardroom.
"Have we arrived? Where are we?"
Then her eyes drifted over to the holy warrior in his distinctive blue uniform. She stared for a moment, her eyes growing wider and wider, and then she screamed, the sound bright and piercing as a laser.
Aban whipped the gun from his holster and pointed it at them, holding it in both hands, finger on the trigger. Running footsteps sounded, and a moment later Stone and four crewmen, whether the same ones as before or others, Emily couldn't tell, burst into the room.
"What have you done?" Stone shouted above her mother's unending screams. He shoved Aban's gun down. The holy warrior lowered it, but didn't holster it.
"Shh, shh," Emily said, kneeling by her mother, putting her arm around her. But her mother would look only at the holy warrior's eyes jumping from one to the next. Emily stood and confronted Stone.
"Get them out," she shouted. "Get them all out."
Stone hesitated, then nodded. "Everyone out," he said. "Close and dog the doors. Aban, you stand guard outside the forward hatch. Bickham, stand guard aft. Move." The holy warriors exited, all of them this time, Aban the last to go, looking back over his shoulder at them as he finally holstered his gun. The hatches closed, leaving Emily alone with her mother. Dr. Christensen Wood's screams tapered off, but her eyes still darted around the room as though she expected the holy warriors to reappear from thin air.
Maybe she does, Emily thought.
"It's okay, Mom, they're gone." She knelt and put her arm around her mother once more. Her mother turned wide, stricken eyes to her. "Ghosts," she whispered. "Ghosts, Emily, didn't you see them? They're all dead. All the holy warriors. I killed them. I killed them all, but they were here. They were here a minute ago." She grabbed Emily's hand. "They were here." But then her face softened and her eyelids drooped. She blinked. "Weren't they?" "They were here, Mom," Emily said. She squeezed her mother's shoulder. "But they're not ghosts. They're survivors. They were in this sub when the plague hit. They figured out what was going on, and they got hold of some hypervaccine somewhere. They're immune." She took a deep breath. "And they don't think Earth is dead, Mom. In fact," she swallowed. "In fact, they're planning to take us there." But her mother's eyes were almost closed, and Emily didn't know how much she'd really heard and understood. "Don't be silly," Dr. Christensen would murmured. "You don't have a spaceship. Richard took it." And then she was asleep again, head dropping heavily onto Emily's shoulder. Emily held her as once her mother had held her. She didn't cry. She wished she could. In the sudden silence, all she could hear was the steady thrumming of the sub's propellers, the hiss of ventilation, and her own thoughts, which were not very comfortable companions. Her future had suddenly narrowed to only two possibilities. The best, imprisonment on Earth, a life of slave labor. The worst, horrible death or gang rape. Oh, she'd meant what she'd said to Stone, but of course they could tie her down or drug her or in some other way keep her from fighting back. She would struggle, but they'd have her in the end. So forget about her. Her focus had to be on her mother. She turned her head, studied her mother's slack, waxy face. Dr. Christensen Wood had always been so vital.